Today we're talking about choosing what is better. That's kind of our topic. How many love it when you get invited to go over to somebody's house? You love that? It's like, hey, I got it. I like it just because somebody thought of me. And then the benefit of getting to go over and visit is wonderful. In our text this morning, we get the opportunity to visit the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. They live in Bethany, which is probably about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And it seems that whenever Jesus was in that area, he would go and he would stay with them. Our passage this morning, as I said, is for Luke 10, and it gives us insight to one of these visits to Bethany. Let's look at it. Luke 10, starting at verse 38. From the New American Standard Bible, it says, "Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.'" Heavenly Father, once again, I'm so appreciative that the Holy Spirit moved upon Luke in such a way that he would write and pen what we need to hear today. So, Lord, I pray that we take this and not be hearers but doers. Respond to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mary and Martha, are both followers of Jesus. They were really both devoted to the Lord. And we know this because of other various accounts recorded in Scripture of encounters with Jesus. In this passage, Martha kind of comes out in bad light. She was trying to do a good thing. She wanted to do something special for Jesus. She welcomes him to her home and wants to make the stay as pleasant for all who was with him and renewing and refreshing as it possibly could be. It seems that Martha had what we would call the gift of hospitality. Anybody have that gift? You seem to be gifted with, that's our problem. I know what I, thank you. No, it's just, she had that gift, and come on, how many really feel like you have the gift? With humility, you have the gift of hospitality. Thank you. In this story, we see that she opens her home and then is making preparations. She's entertaining, whatever she's doing to get the meal ready for them. In this passage, it also tells us about her sister, Mary. Mary in the story, though, is seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he's saying or his teaching and what he's teaching. Now, you have to understand, this is fairly significant. I don't want you to miss this because it was not common for a rabbi, who Jesus was considered a rabbi in that day, to allow a woman to sit at his feet. This was the usual posture of a disciple, which, of course, would have been a man in the ancient world. So what she's doing is breaking the rule of that day. Now, she may have done it because she felt comfortable in her own home, and it was a more relaxed setting than, of course, the marketplace. Now, Jesus didn't seem to have any problem with that fact that she was sitting there. In fact, Mary's posture was such that it demonstrated that she really had a desire to learn what the master was teaching. And in fact, I think Martha was probably fine with Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, at least at first. In fact, we're told that while Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, Martha's somewhere over in the kitchen making preparation. She had rolls to bake and potatoes to mash. You think they had mashed potatoes back then? The table to set. There's just a lot to do because there was a lot to do. But at some point, while Martha was working in the kitchen, she began to feel a little overwhelmed and a little underappreciated. And at some point, she began to resent Mary, and that Mary didn't recognize, "I need help." And may have even thought, Mary, she doesn't want to help me. How many have ever felt that way about, you've had those moments, people didn't recognize what you were going through? We've all have felt that way. And we have no trouble really imagining the scene that is going on in that home. You can imagine Martha kind of thinking, here I am in the kitchen slaving away over this meal, and these people are about to gobble all this down in a few minutes, and everyone out there is having a good time with Jesus. And I mean, they have no idea how much I'm working in here and preparing this meal for them. Now I'll ask the question, ever been there? How many have ever been there? Notice that mostly it's ladies raising their hands. I can imagine her making a little more noise with the pots and pans back in the behind the wall. No one kind of noticed, so she goes to the table and sets the plates on the table with just a little more force than normal. She was frustrated. The situation, she wanted to know, people, I'm sacrificing for you. And for all we know, someone might have said, Martha, Martha, can we do anything to help you? And Martha probably responded, no, I'm fine. You just continue your visit. Come on, you ever been there? Come on. I love these stories because they're about as real gets, right? Now, if it did happen that way, you could probably hear the frustration in her voice, and probably it was enough that no one really wanted to go in and help her at this point, you know? Now, Martha has started out, though, doing something really nice, something wonderful for Jesus and the company, but her attitude took a wrong turn somewhere. Now, I want you to hear me right here. Martha's service was no longer about Jesus and the others. It was now about Martha. Did you catch that? We're told in Scripture that Martha was distracted. Her heart started off wonderful. She let all the work in the kitchen begin to distract her from the attitude she started with. Church, when we start feeling sorry for ourselves, anybody ever done that? When we do, we tend to view everything and everybody through a negative lens. Our stomach's getting a knot, our heart's race, and then we begin to attribute the worst possible motives to everyone else out there. They weren't thinking about me. They don't care. And we start feeling like the victim. I mean, you know what I mean. You've been there. And when people get to this point, they tend to strike out at anyone and everyone that's even near them. And Martha had finally had enough. In fact, she comes to Jesus in verse 40, we read. She said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. In this passage, we see that Martha's flustered, she's frustrated, and that frustration, I know that's not a word, but that frustration, you know what it is, it's everything hitting you at one time, came out as anger toward Mary. She didn't even notice, you know, how much I'm doing, and even toward Jesus for not noticing. And she tells Jesus, you tell Mary to help me out. How many of you know how easy it is to end up where Martha is if you don't guard your attitude? And it happens when we get so involved with what we're doing that we feel everyone else should be equally as concerned as we are about our pursuits. That's what happened to Martha. And so Jesus turns to Martha, and we read it in verse 41 and 42. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Now, I don't know, I wasn't there, and so I'm not sure, but he repeats her name twice. So I don't know if she was just, you know how you get steamy? You're not necessarily loud, but you're steamy, and you really don't hear your name. Martha, Martha, Martha. I don't know. He's trying to get her attention. Maybe she's still talking while he's trying to talk over her. But Martha, Martha, he says, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I can imagine Jesus, of course, looks Martha right in the eye and speaking probably with real deep compassion and telling Martha, listen, I know you're upset. I know you're worried about everything that's going on. But it was right here at this point that Jesus really identifies the struggle. You've gotten flustered by all the stuff. And the next phrase, he gives her the solution to the problem. Stuff versus only one thing is necessary. Jesus is telling Martha, Martha, you're upset about all the stuff, but she missed the one thing that was necessary. And to me, the one thing really was to keep her heart and her attitude in check and focused on the right person. Jesus was not about to scold Mary because Mary was seeking the thing that she needed most, a relationship with God. Now listen, Jesus was not telling Martha, listen, showing hospitality is bad. That wasn't what he was saying. Martha was not wrong in wanting to be a good hostess. She just took it too far. And it took her away from something that was far better. That's why in our life we have to make choices about choosing what is better. That's the message. So I'm now going to give you some life applications for you to apply, and you're going, wow, it's 11:20 something and this is it. Well, today I want to be careful that I give you opportunity for the one necessary thing. Because me talking is not the most necessary thing to happen today. The most necessary thing for you is to be at the feet of Jesus today. Let me take a few moments, though, and talk about how we can apply this. Now, the story, you understand, was not recorded because Luke wanted us to meet Mary and Martha. That was not the reason. The Holy Spirit had Luke pen these words because it illustrates something important for us in following Christ in the daily routine of our life. The first thing I want you to notice this morning is this. We can be so involved in doing ministry. Now, let me define ministry before I go on. Ministry can be to the church. It can even be to your family. It can be to some other people. It can be to your job. It can even be to God. But we get so involved in doing ministry that we neglect developing a relationship with God. Do not get so busy doing the work of the Lord that you forget the Lord of the work. Sometimes we can be so eager, I want to see the church grow. I want to help the poor. Or I just need to tend to my own kids. That we get so busy in all the stuff that we neglect tending to our own relationship with the Lord. If we're not careful, the focus begins to shift from the Lord to me. It all started with Him, but it ends up, look at me. The warning here is that we must always keep hungering for God's Word and hungering for this deeper relationship with God. We have to watch that our God time, if I could call it that, does not get consumed with other activity, even if it is good activity. I am convinced that one of our enemies or Satan's probably most effective tactic is to keep us so busy that we do not have time to build a relationship with Christ. All of us need to learn to discipline ourselves to read God's Word, to pray, and keep our relationship with Jesus vibrant. I wonder, by the way, did you know this is the Lord's Day? I wonder how many other things you're going to do today. How many other things have you planned? How much activity is going to happen? And you say, well, I gave the Lord the first part. I thought this was the Lord's Day. And it doesn't mean, you know, it's the Lord's hour. I think we don't give the Lord enough time in our life. We don't sit at His feet long enough. Let me help you. Spiritual problems begin in your life when you begin to cheat your time with God. And let me give you some warning signs of it. One is that you do not have time to read your Bible. You just don't have time. You're so busy. Or when you do read, you find yourself distracted by other things, and therefore really you're not reading effectively. There's a problem. Or you have trouble concentrating in prayer because there's so much going on in your head. Or while you're praying is so focused on your activities and no real time is spent talking to God about your own relationship with Him. Lord, you got to be with them. You got to help them. Lord, you got to do this. My kids, and my family, my job, and all the other activities of your life. What are you just saying, Lord, what about me? What about me and you? You're listening to them. Or maybe you find one excuse after another for why you're missing church. You say, well, I don't miss church. I wonder. I'll be honest with you. It takes us 3 weeks. We know this, for us to get one announcement out so kind of everybody in the church hears it at least once. I know there's other activities, and if I'm to hero anybody, it's you today, because this is Labor Day weekend, and this is the weekend to kind of take off and break away so with your family, but look where you are, and I thank you for that. But I really think God should be and is the most necessary thing in our life. If you see signs like this creeping into your life, it's likely that you need to spend less time doing stuff and more time sitting at the feet of Jesus. A second life lesson is this. When we neglect what is most important, the sweet can turn sour. Martha's heart started off right. It was this happy servant's heart. I'm glad to have everybody come over. But all of a sudden, it turned frazzled and frustrated. She somehow got preoccupied with all the cooking and the service to others, that somewhere along the line, it stopped being about others and it started being about her. And Jesus had to remind her, basically, don't worry about all that stuff. You've got to rest in me. A simple guideline for you is this. If you're churning inside and you're worried about so many things, could I say, don't despair. Just come back and sit at the feet of Jesus. Get your relationship right with God, and that'll help get your perspective on all the other stuff going on in your life back in order. This story teaches us to make sure to put first things first. We have to keep our priorities in right order. And by the way, those priorities are simply God, bottom line, then family. And if you want me to subdivide family, spouse, then kids. God, family. And then the other things that fall in place outside of your family, extended family, or others, or work, or whatever that is, but you can't miss the most necessary thing, the most important thing, God. And if you keep God in the right place, all the other stuff seems to find its priority, and it guards your heart from becoming about you and keeping the focus about Him. So often when we read stories of people in the Bible that we encounter, we're left wondering, what happened to them? It's not the case with Martha and Mary. In fact, we see them later on in the Gospels because they are dynamic, faithful followers of Christ. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. I just have a couple of closing thoughts for you this morning. And it's 11:30. And I just want us to make sure before we step out of here this morning that we have some at Jesus' feet time. Choosing what is better, choosing what's best. The problem is there's a lot of good stuff out there, but you're going to have to make that choice. Let me take you to Psalm 100, verse 2. The first part of this verse says, serve the Lord with gladness. the first part of this, serve the Lord, I just want you to know, the Bible says in everything you do it as unto who? The Lord. So everything you're thinking you're going to do today, everything, every activity is really about the Lord if you'll keep Him in the right priority. And when you do that, you serve with gladness. It's like you just keep this happy heart about yourself, a joyful heart in the midst of it, because you're working for the Lord. So you got to guard your heart when you serve for kingdom purpose. And keep your heart in this happy relationship with God, because we serve Him with gladness. Because I know there's times and there's things I've done, and I've allowed my attitude and my heart to get distracted because I didn't think anybody else was noticing. I didn't think anybody else cared. I'm doing all this. But I have to realize I'm serving the Lord. And I don't care what accolades or rewards you get here on earth, they will never match what He'll have for you when you get to heaven. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Because I begin to get my focus right and my thoughts right, I'm living this thing for eternity, not the temporal. Let me give you a second scripture this morning about sitting at Jesus' feet. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. I don't know if you understand, the Psalms are songs, S-O-N-G-S. That's really what they were. They were the poetic writings, and they would put them to music, and they would sing these. And so there were 150 of them, made a collection for the Jewish community, and they would go back to these. Well, guess what was found on hymn number 1? This psalm right here. Psalm 1. Very interesting. Out of all the psalms that they began to put in there, they chose this one to be the very first one because it probably had deep meaning to it. And I want you to hear what that is this morning, just the first two verses of it. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers." Verse 2. "But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night." Sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, let me help you out here a little bit, because I need to take you back, because I want you to notice where we need to be positioned. Let's go back to verse 1. The gladness of heart of those who do not. Now, if I reverse all of these, where does it position me? I do not follow the advice of the wicked. I follow the advice of what? The Word of God. Wow. All of a sudden, all the stuff you hear. Oh, come on. The news is a mess. And yet we're so driven by it. We're so tempted to think, wow, I heard that, and all the negative. So many times we don't know the truth. So I do know the truth, though, is to go and pray for those in leadership. That I do know. I do know to lift them up. And we wonder, what am I supposed to do? So we need to get our advice from God. I reposition myself, so now I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'm sitting at the feet of God's Word, saying, that's what I want to hear. Secondly, stand around with sinners. If we're going to change that, where are you going to end up? You're going to end up with the people of God, with believers. I'm no longer hanging out with the crowd that's affecting my thinking and cluttering and distracting my thoughts when I should be sitting with Jesus. So I learned to hang out with those who edify me and build me up and strengthen me and help me and grow me and lift me up. And when I'm down in the pits, they're there to grab my hand. They're there to walk with me and hold me and carry me and strengthen my life in the Lord. That's why there is no judgment in this place. If you have a judgmental spirit, by the way, you need to get rid of it. You judge, you'll be judged with the same judgment you're judged with. So why don't you just sit at Jesus' feet and love everybody and let God deal with that stuff? He will. I don't have to. Get your position right. I'm not done with verse 1. Last one, join in with mockers. What would be the opposite of that? You got to say it louder. Join with believers. How about join in with worship? Because the mocking comes from the mouth. Now all of a sudden, LA, did you see what they did? Did you hear? Did you feel? Did you? Lord, I praise you. I'm joining in with some praise. I'm joining in with some worship. I'm joining in with some thoughts toward God. I reposition myself. And I reposition myself, and I do that. I say I get my advice. I get my time with believers. I get my time in worship. And I do that every morning. Whoa, let's go to verse 2. When do you think we do this? So is that like an hour in the morning, an hour at night? I believe it's all day. I just meditate on it day. And day seems to be whenever that sun comes up till it sets. And night seems to be whenever it sets till it comes up. That's day. God said, I call that day, and I call that night. And that's the way we live. Do you understand how important this is, that we get just the most important thing first? Sitting at Jesus' feet. So this morning, I want to give you that opportunity. Keep studying God's Word. Keep your heart in tune with the Lord. Get your life in line with God's Word. But this morning, I want to take us back to the verse of a chorus or a song we sang earlier. It's the Jesus paid it all. I want you to put up the very first verse. Now, I want you to listen to this real carefully, because I knew the message, and I get to read these verses a little bit different than you do, but let me take you back to it. I hear the Savior say, where are you going to hear? Prayer, Bible, being near him. Position. Thy strength indeed is small. By the way, when we hear the Lord, have you always heard him secondhand through somebody else? I just want you to know you can hear him firsthand. But it takes time. And he says, thy strength indeed is small. How many of us doesn't know that? We're weak. Child of weakness, what are we to do? Watch and pray. And listen to this stanza. Find in me thine all in all. Everything you need, every wisdom you need, every part of your life, you'll find it in him. But the question is, have you positioned yourself? That's why Jesus paid it.